Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, you know, this is the perfect timing for this awesome book to come out. It just released yesterday. Oh, hard edit on that, Jack.
Drop.
Bye, music.
Yeah, we were just talking about this book. It came out yesterday, correct?
It did.
It's called Spritz. Perfect timing, because now we're finally moving into spring, and it's about spritzes, spritz cocktails, and it's done by a couple of ladies who wrote this book that are no strangers to the show, and also not strangers to Heritage Radio in general.
We love Heritage.
Talia Bioki and Lindsay Perso, welcome back.
Yay!
Hi!
That's why the song had to drop.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, dude. Okay, the first thing about this book, I saw photos of the cover, I guess a couple months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's just the coolest. It's like, it's the greatest, I think.
I don't think you even
design.
Need to read it. Just
you
look
don't.
At
it's,
it.
Just
look
at it. It's got this cool, like, old Italian, like, deco-y, mid-century illustration on the cover. And it's really amazing. It's really handsome.
But
before we even get into the book, I just, like, what was
our
the...
book is blushing. You should see it.
It's so cool. I mean, it looks like an old, like, Italian, like, kind of like subway poster advertisement, like for like a like Campari or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because when we were putting together inspiration images, we had a Pinterest board. We pinned a lot of old Campari ads, and that was it's a nod to the Spritz's heritage and its Italian heritage. We were also thinking a lot about old travel ads, you know, those like deco travel ads that you see in the European style. And we sort of melded those two things and made a beautiful spritz baby. And our illustrator,
made a beautiful spritz baby.
Matt Allen, was very, very kind in making such beautiful images for us. So shout out to Matthew Allen.
He's awesome. He was the former creative director for Surfer Magazine. And so much of this too is inspired by California. And so it really made a lot of sense that we had a guy who's from Southern California and is into surfing and loves color.
Yeah.
A lot.
I mean, yeah, because like the spritz is such a vibrant drink on its own, you know, and all the different variations are so like vibrant. It's meant to be kind of like lighter, playful, you know, refreshing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the sound of a spritz.
So, yeah, it's a really great cover. But the content of it is really cool. Why don't you tell me about like the actual, like, what was the process on this? I mean, I know that, like, to me, like, you wrote the Sherry book, Talia, and it's an awesome, that's another
Thank
beautiful
you.
Book. And you guys started Punch together, and so you're no strangers to the writing process and everything. But to me, it's like, when I think about writing a book, I'm like, what do I know about crap? I know about Southwestern stuff. It's like, I have to figure out, like,
motorcycles.
What, yeah. Well, maybe I could do that. But, like, my motivations for writing a book are more based on, like, where I get to travel.
That was a big part of it
for
us.
On someone else's dime.
Yeah, and we did that. We ate up our entire book advance going to Italy.
Yeah.
We found ourselves often working and drinking at the same time by nature of starting Punch and working really late hours. And we realized that we should probably not be slamming Negronis at 4 p.m. So we started slamming spritzes instead. And being the nerds that we are, we started asking questions like, oh, okay, we're drinking this thing all the time. Where does it come from? What is the context? And we found that there wasn't a ton of information out there, concrete information about the origin. And Talia is actually, she's the expert on this, area, so I'm going to let her just break it down for us.
we were like, okay, well, this thing is like become this crazy phenomenon. Like the Aperol Spritz has become a modern classic. And we were like, well, so what's behind all of this? Like, there's got to be a story behind this. Like, how does a drink just explode in this way? And truthfully, when we set out, we weren't really sure what we were going to find. We're like, maybe this book is going to be 10 pages and that's it. But we found out that really the act of mixing water into wine goes back to the Roman era. And in a way, they were sort of proto spritzing back there. They would add like snow to wine. They would add seawater to wine. So they were kind of creating their own spritz. But the spritz doesn't really become the modern spritz until bubbly water becomes part of the equation, which happens at the beginning of the 20th century. And then from there, that was born during the sort of Austro-Hungarian occupation of that area. So these soldiers coming in and trying to dilute the wines of the area, as the myth goes.
Venice
is the area. And then in the 20s and 30s, it's really important, the most important ingredient in the spritz, which is the bitter. And that, in a way, was Italian sort of like adding their Italianness to this drink that was born under imperialist rule. And we see throughout Italian cocktail history that, you know, really it's not just an appropriation of American cocktail culture. It was very much something of their own. And the spritz is a great reflection of that.
That's...
Who knew?
Really great identity politics.
And one of the really cool things that we found out when we went to Italy and we traveled from Venice to Milan, we took a little Fiat, we packed all of our luggage into it, we drank so many spritzes. But we found that each area and each region in northern Italy has its own iteration of the spritz. So in the same way that you might find, you know, like different variations of a margarita in Texas or, you know, across the Southwest, Italy has its own iterations of the spritz. So in Venice, the traditional red bitter that they use instead of Aperol or Campari is called Select. We don't get it in the United States, but that's the very popular version there. Aperol is almost everywhere. But when you get to Milan, Campari is by far the dominant red bitter. And at one time, there were many, many other red bitters, which we're sort of seeing a revitalization of with Contrato and Cappelletti. And
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Venice, it's you'll see on the cover, if you buy our book, it's on stands and on Amazon, that the classic Venetian spritz is always punctuated with an olive, a bright green olive, and an orange slice, which is not something that we're quite used to in America. But it harkens back to that idea of eating and drinking at the same time, this little salty bit with the bittersweet bit. And that's one of the rules of the spritz, too, is to always be eating while you're drinking.
Well, it's also very, like... just like straight up, like, this is what we have, you know, like we have a shitload of olives, we got all this Prosecco and some bitters, let's just throw it all together. I like
pretty
that
much. Yeah,
there's, I mean, there, that's kind of an interesting point too. Like, you know, there are some classic cocktails, like we always think of the olive going into a martini, mm-hmm. that's it. But then there are also like different whiskey cocktails that have olives and like yeah. things like the Venetian spritz, and I think it's really nice, especially when you have it with Aperol, you know, you've got like the kind of like sweet with the salty and you know, even like when you like the most like classic marinated olive recipe is like rosemary and then a shitload of orange peels. So yeah. it just makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you think of it in like the culinary side. But going back to what you were saying about that, eating and drinking together, of course, I mean, like that's especially like with something
you should.
Yeah. and I mean in most historical contexts you would, but I think American cocktail culture changed that a lot. You have a cocktail before dinner, you're yeah. drinking cocktails, you know, like day drinking is obviously a thing, and that we've forgotten or maybe never practiced eating with drinking, which is such a European idea.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing it more and more now with aperitivo hours proliferating across the country, especially with the rise of the bitter and the people embracing the spritz. But when you sit down at a bar in Italy, someone's always going to put something in front of you, whether it's like a generic basket of potato chips and some olives or a gorgeous spread of charcuterie and cheese. And it's just, that's how they're supposed to go together.
Yeah. I wish there were more examples of that in like American cocktail history. I mean, like there's a really great, a classic cocktail called the Ideal Cocktail, and it's like a gin, grapefruit kind of thing. But classically, it was served with a side of almonds.
Oh, really?
Like that, like the drink actually. Yeah, I can't.
Where
remember.
Does that come from?
I think it was Ted Saucier, but I don't quote me on that. But yeah, the drink would come with like a side of almonds, and that was the set, you know. And I tried messing around with that. Like at Prime Eats, I had the Ideal Cocktail on for a while, and Garrett Richards and I would always like grab almonds from the kitchen. They would get really pissed off at us because we're taking all of our almonds. But but it was really cool, and especially with things like, you know, what we have to deal with like the Department of Health and cross contamination and stuff like that. You can't actually like it's actually illegal in New York State to give out bar snacks. People do it, but yeah, it's idea of like different people putting their hands in there, or just, it's like not really regulated.
Totally.
But if you serve like a side of something with a cocktail, then technically
is that the loophole?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I think that's right. You should be able to just have a little nice gesture. That should not be illegal. We're on the subway. Like, I don't think that it's like something is going to happen elsewhere. Just let us have some free nuts.
Is the bread basket considered a loophole? Like
what's that?
The bread basket? How does that work into things? Like the, you know, gratis.
It's yours.
Okay.
That's
I got
like,
it.
Usually like at a table.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess sometimes at the bar, but it's like, it's a thing. It's not like there. It's the difference of like arriving at like a dive bar and having like a bowl of like peanuts or like trail mix or like cheesy poofs or whatever, like on the bar, and you just roll up
poofs.
Cheesy. I don't know. I don't eat.
It's a poof.
It's a poof. It's poof cheese. I don't know what it's called. Is it Cheetos? Is that?
Well, it depends. We're getting into different territory here.
Hey, they're orange, and we're talking about spritzes. So, like, I
the semantics of cheese.
We're gonna make
cheese
it happen.
Products.
We're gonna come back around to it. I think it's a great idea. Like, you know, we talk about especially when I'm training new bartenders, like, and teaching like cocktail classes and stuff. We talk about like, you know, basically there are three different functions of a garnish. One of them is just purely like presentational, umbrellas and like little flamingos and shit like that.
Totally.
Then there's like the modifying garnish, which is something like a lemon wedge or lime wedge, something that you can like someone will typically squeeze into a drink to alter the recipe of the drink itself. And then there are the like edible garnishes, like things like olives and cherries. And I've actually seen people eat orange peels. I'm like, what the hell are you
I've
doing?
Been there. That's because there's no free
there's
bar
no
snacks.
Yeah.
You're just so hungry by the end of that spritz.
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah. I mean, the spritz is the beautiful thing about a spritz is that it's so permutable. And we found this as we were traveling through Italy, everybody having their different iteration, and nobody's measuring a spritz. Mm. Like, nobody is jiggering a spritz in Italy. You throw in the Campari, and then at the same time that you're pouring Prosecco, you've got the soda gun going, and it's almost like, you know, a club highball. Mm-hmm. And they can serve dozens of them at a time. It's obviously very economical, but it's also sort of the freewheeling spirit, the sort of laissez-faire spirit of the spritz that you can just throw ingredients in a glass, and it's all going to taste good at the end.
Yeah, it's really hard to
fuck it up.
You
can't fuck it up.
Yeah. You cannot.
Thank God.
I mean, and if you are going to fuck it up, I mean, you just flip the bottle of Aperol around, and the recipe is there. It's 3-2-1.
Exactly.
Or just pour more in. Like,
just,
whatever.
Yeah.
Just
add
just
more Prosecco.
Adding stuff until it's right.
Yeah. Like, I just had four of these on accident.
Which is essentially when we were testing recipes, we got every bottle in the apartment out. I mean, aside, we mixed a little hard booze, but we had all of the liqueurs, all the weird stuff that we just never used before, and we just tried it all.
That's beautiful.
And pretty much everything tastes good when you pour a bunch of Prosecco over
it.
You know what? Absolutely. Dave Wondrich was in the studio about a month ago or so, and, you know, I told him on the show, I was like, man, you know what's really great about the book imbibe? Is it like pretty much every classic cocktail that you talk about? Well, of course, they're all classic cocktails. It's about Jerry Thomas. But I was like, man, I really like your writing style, because at the end of every paragraph about this cocktail, you're like, and it's not bad with a little bit of champagne on top. Yeah.
That's
and
true.
Just keep saying it. And I'm like, yeah,
just
you're right.
Just put some champagne on it. Yeah,
Prosecco, champagne, cava, whatever. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue talking with Leslie and Talia about spritzes.
I tripped. I was in so.
This one's called Lazy LA by Odetta Hartman. We'll be right back.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we are back. You are listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network, and I have Leslie Pariso and Talia Baiocchi in the studio talking about spritzes. Before we took the break, we were kind of joking around about Dave Wondrich's take on, you know, topping everything off with champagne, calling it Royale. When I opened Grand Army, I had my first draft of the menu, I had a little kind of like footnote on it. And it was like a $2 upgrade. It was like, make it a Royale to every
yes.
cocktail. And
yes, to
because you can do that, right? But even the Royale that I had on the menu, you just make it more royal. You could add more
just
champagne.
Add
to
more
it.
Champagne.
So that's pretty sweet. so outside of the research you did in Italy, checking out all the different regional styles of making spritzes and stuff. I guess this is a good way to transition into what you found domestically, and not just domestically, but like the modern spritz variations. So, I mean, clearly, with having Punch Magazine, you have been doing a lot of research with a bunch of different bars, bartenders around the world, and also having spritzes at the office, of course. Yeah. So, what was your process with collecting all these different recipes and getting it turned into the selection of cocktails you have in the book?
Well, we had been drinking a lot of spritzes, and because we were sort of turned on to the nature of looking really closely as our jobs at cocktail history in America and what was going on currently, we just kept seeing it popping up in a lot of places. Most notably, we noticed at Nightcap when Natasha David opened that bar with Alex Day and Dave Kaplan and the whole proprietors team, that she's a huge champion of the spritz, as is Alex Day. And she had a whole dedicated section to spritzes, which we got really psyched about. And we ended up having dozens of meetings there, and we always strayed toward the spritz section. So she was doing some really cool stuff. She was also, you know, adding, like, her style is very specific. She likes to add a lot of syrups, a lot of infused things. And it sort of pumped up the nature and formalized the nature of the spritz, which we really liked. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other ones that really, like, inspired us along the way.
But she also is a huge fan of, like, low ABV cocktails.
Totally, yes.
And I think that's one of the coolest things about spritzes, too, is that, like, for you to be able to put out a book about spritzes is awesome.
How far we've come,
how far
right?
we've come. Because, like, you know, 10 years ago, it was like, we're going to drink an overproofed whiskey Manhattan. That's yeah. what we're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, and to, you know, a decade later now be completely, like, comfortable with drinking low ABV cocktails, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, with things like the Bamboo cocktail. I mean, of course, with your sherry book, you know, that's a lot of low ABV cocktails.
Totally.
And it's awesome that we can actually like enjoy stuff like this. And, you know, it goes back to a very European style of drinking, because it's like a marathon, you know, it's not about like getting to the finish line. It's
going the distance.
Going the distance. Yeah, man.
The interesting thing too is that I think, you know, when we first set out to write the book, we were like, okay, well, what defines a spritz? Mm-hmm. Because there is no like exact definition. First of all, it was never really a recipe until Aperol put it on the back of the bottle. It was a regional way in which he would serve wine. It was sort of a perspective on the aperitif that was unique to northeastern Italy. And so no one's actually gone out and been like, this is what a spritz is. And for us, you know, when you look at the book, we have the classics, then we have modern drinks, then we have cousins. Because for us, it was really about drinks that were low ABV, bitter, and bubbly. Mm-hmm. So that opens up the door to talk about a whole lot more. Like your drink, the Americano Perfecto, is in there, and it's, you know, two types of vermouth, Campari, and, you know, beer.
Yeah.
And that's in the book, because to us, that's
and
still in the category.
Yeah. Of course. Well, like our very first photo shoot ever, maybe our second photo shoot, we made the Americano Perfecto and we were like, oh shit, this thing is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first cocktails that came to mind when we were talking about a spritz. And
it was the inspiration for the book. You can say it.
Yeah. It, thank you.
You're welcome.
This book would not exist without you.
But when we started out really testing all of these recipes, and these are the sort of like trademark things that we were looking for: low ABV, bubbly, and bitter. And then after we tested all of these recipes and we decided, you know, what we really liked, they sort of aligned themselves into categories, which is how we came up with, I mean, classics. Obviously, you've got the Venetian Spritz, you've got the Negroni Sbagliato. And then we from there, we went to modern. So modern to us was something that, like, you were keeping the basic blueprint of what a spritz was, which is usually Prosecco, a bitter element, and low ABV.
And wine, then, and usually wine.
And wine, mm-hmm. Exactly. There's something wine-based in there, whether it's sherry or it's Prosecco or it's actual wine. And then from there, we went to cousins, which were things that still felt spritzy, things that felt like that they, like, if you saw it on a menu and you didn't know what was in it and tasted it, you were like, oh, that's definitely a spritz.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we place the Americano Perfecto, because it's actually a beer cocktail. And we've got a lot of others that are, you know, the base is something else, like gin, or we have the Scropino in there, which is a classic vodka and sorbet cocktail with Prosecco.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things to mention about all of these, too, is that when you buy your copy of Spritz, these are all jumping off points. Like, like we said, you cannot mess up a spritz. So like, if you like the looks of something, but you want to switch out a recipe or an ingredient, by all means do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's kind of where, well, my drink, the Americano Perfecto, that's where it came from. I was like, you know what?
Yeah. How did you come up with that?
I was like, I love Americanos, but we can make it really American and just put Pilsner in it.
Yes.
Just put beer in it.
Yeah.
There was definitely a little inspiration from Dave Wondrich's Make It a Royale. But the, you know, there's so many, and going back to like Natasha David's menu at Nightcap, I've had so many great conversations with her about like her, and not just her, but like a lot of bartenders, like over the last few years, about the low ABV cocktails. And, you know, for it goes back to what you were saying about having like food with your drinks too. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. and having, you know, I don't like doing shots. First of all, I do them begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly.
But like, I usually like, everyone knows I like Fernet Branca, or just Fernet and bitters in general. And so like, mm-hmm. anytime I walk into, I mean, I have a Fernet Branca tattoo. So anytime I walk into a bar, all of a sudden there's shots of Fernet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's great. But I usually like, I'll take two step them. I'm from Oklahoma. We did the two step. So I'll take it in two turns, but I think that's also from like kind of like getting older and like just wanting to, I want to be able to hang out, you know, for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not looking to like get blackout in the first 2 hours.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been there and we've done that.
Totally. You know? Yes.
You like leisure, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. And like, that's to me, you know, especially this time of year and with the sun shining mm-hmm. and I want to be outside. I want to be sipping mm-hmm. on something like a spritz or an Americano with my buds and, you know, enjoying the day. Mm-hmm. And also the
living the spritz life.
Yeah, living the spritz life. Hashtag. There's something to be said about day drinking that is we haven't really brought up yet on mm-hmm. this show. If I had it my way, whiskey wouldn't have alcohol in it, and I would just drink it all the time just because I like the way it tastes. And the other thing would be I would never, ever go out at night. I would just drink during the day,
yeah.
take care of everything else at night, somewhere else. But like, it's so much better to have a drink during the day and hang out during the day.
Yeah.
I wish we could just
without
like,
the 6 p.m. hangover.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, that's
it's the worst.
And you're like in bed by 8.
You're just like, and you wake up the next day, you're like, what happened?
Well, the spritz gives you the best of both worlds because you can, it's really meant for that liminal hour between yeah. work and play. Mm-hmm. And you can keep the night going if you want to, but the spritz is really meant to be drunk during the golden hours. And like, yeah. it's like such a beautiful way to wind down from work and just like say, I'm out.
Just yeah. drop the mic like Jack did.
I'm out.
Well, speaking of which, we're about to hit that golden hour, and yeah. and I'm really happy to have the two of you
Thank
back
you.
At my bar at Grand Army.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we're going to be
listening.
Yeah, we're going to go hang out there for happy hour, right? From
yes.
5 to 7.
Yes.
And we're going to have a menu of different spritz options and.
Including your Americano Perfecto.
Woohoo!
That's awesome. That's so nice. Jack, you coming?
Whoa, hey. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, because I don't want that 6 p.m. Hangover that you guys spoke of. As soon as you said that, the feeling like yeah. shot into me and I had these dark flashbacks.
Sorry.
Right on. Well, yeah. we're gonna go there now. Check out the book, Spritz, everywhere. It's going to be everywhere because it's awesome. And thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
It's been really great to have you back in the studio and miss you on the Speakeasy, but also miss you on Heritage Radio Network. So
I know.
So we'll be back again.
We'll be back.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Come to Grand Army tonight from 5 to 7. We'll be hanging out with Talia and Leslie, drinking a bunch of spritzes. And Jack's even going to be there. That's it. Cheers, y'all.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.